Welcome to Big Blend Radio, where we celebrate variety and how it adds spice to quality of life. Welcome to the Big Daily Blend, everyone. Here on the show, we love to celebrate holidays, honor observances, look at historic happenings. We like to have a whole bunch of fun, and it is spring, you know. Today here in Durham, North Carolina, it is full on, like the typical most beautiful kind of spring day you can imagine. I took two little dogs for a walk and looked at wildflowers, and birds are everywhere. Yeah, it is just blue skies. It is perfect, and the weather is perfect. And you know what's even more perfect? We got one of our favorite friends on the show. Johnny Schaefer is an amazing vocalist, songwriter, composer, and recording artist. And he is here every first Sunday. We always have a theme that we're going to talk about. And somehow we always jump off course. So you're in for a journey, everyone. Thanks for being here. Thanks, Johnny. Welcome back. How are you?
Thank you, Lisa. I'm doing well. Happy spring. Happy April.
Yeah, it's April, and there's so many songs about April, right? You know,
there
it's
are.
Yeah, I think April Showers has got to be one of those, you know, songs to focus on. April Showers.
Yeah.
You know, Bing Crosby, you put on, and everyone, we have a music list from Johnny, and I'm going to add a few songs in there, and we always start adding songs as we, you know, have this conversation. So look in the show notes. And also I have a link to a playlist of songs that relate to roses because it's also National Garden Month. And so we want some flower power. It's spring. And it's also National Hope Month. And I think that kind of goes with spring. Wouldn't you say, Johnny? Hope and spring and rebirth, feeling of renewal. Because the winter can get people down.
It really can. Yeah, it's funny. I have friends in the Pacific Northwest, and they talk about that there are places you can get sunlight treatments because people suffer from depression, and so they can go in and they'll get, like, it's using lamps and things like that. You know, sometimes if the weather's consistently dark, you know, gray, it can bring you down. So the hope of spring, is something that people hold on to, and many authors and songwriters and painters have expressed that, you know, the analogy of hoping for something, you know, a better place or, you know, a brighter time, I guess. And in fact, my friend Stefan Oberhoff has a song called Spring Knows Its Way Back Home. And he actually sings about, wintertime. And then there's a line, I think it's that God must have his reason. And then just trusting that the spring is going to come.
Exactly. When I was going to say, you've got a wonderful song. It's actually one of my favorite ones of yours, April Fool, because that also has some hope in there. When you think about the lyrics and, you know, hoping to reunite with someone by Cinco de Mayo and it's April, you're like, I'm an April Fool. But you have a line in the song talking about how you are not your mistakes. So it's like you can keep going, even though we make mistakes. Our mistakes don't define us. I think that is a very powerful way to close a song.
Yeah, that song was a very interesting experience for me because I woke up with that line in my head. I've been an April Fool, but if I promise to try, oh, could we be back together by Cinco de Mayo? And it was like, it wasn't anywhere near April when I wrote that. When I wrote that song, I just woke up with that. And then kind of once I woke up, the whole song just started coming, flowing from me. And the other interesting thing is that it is a song about, being in a tough spot in a relationship and trying to get back to a good place. And at the time, my relationship was fine.
I was
interesting.
Like, Paco, Paco, no. take him back.
And I think it came from from times in our relationship where, you know, things weren't good. I think it's just that kind of stayed in me, and then it came out. You know, sometimes I've noticed that my psyche kind of, or my, I don't know, the creative part of my brain or whatever stews on things. You know, a seed will get planted, and then it'll kind of germinate in my mind, and then it comes out later. And I think that's what happened with that song. But yeah, it's actually one of my favorite songs of mine, I guess, if there's such a thing. And and the video, making the video was a really cool experience. It was one of the first videos that Paco and I did together. And we got some of our friends that are different. You know, one is a racially mixed couple, and there's a gay couple, and then, you know, so it was a mixture of different types of people. And just yeah, like trying that. To show that, you know, that relationships can go through different phases like that. And there's a line, you know, I thought we found a way across each other's borders. And, you know, Paco's a Mexican immigrant. And so I think that, you know, that kind of came out of our relationship. I believe that, you know, that line came out of things that we experienced, because when you come from completely different backgrounds and cultures, it's interesting navigating that when you're in a relationship. And so we, you know, just different ways of looking at the world and living life and cultural things. And I mean, I really love it. Paco's family has been so welcoming to me. And when we visit them, and he has family in San Jose and then family down in Mexico. And when we visit them, it's really beautiful, like being, you know, the ways that they love each other and the way that they get through life, and to relate that to my experience. And so sometimes it's confusing and sometimes it's frustrating, but it's all, it makes everything more interesting. And I like when life is interesting. So.
Yeah, no. It's, and you guys go to Mexico a lot too, and you got that little vibe in there. Who was doing the guitar on the song April Fool? I like the guitar work on there too.
Yeah, my friend George Reich, he was my first producer that I worked with for many, many years. And he played everything on that song. Or we just kind of, you know, we're at his home studio and just kind of laid it down one track at a time. And I think all those years working with him really helped me hone my producer chops, because we sort of did everything together. Every note was a decision that we made together. And so I learned a lot about how songs are layered, and you know, how you build a track. And now I've got my own home studio where I'm starting to try to make my own demos, and it's been really helpful just having had that experience.
But that's,
yeah,
cool.
we wanted kind of, you know, some Spanish guitar, and George was very versatile musician, and I'm very eclectic, and so it was great tapping into his, he was very open to trying new things, and sometimes we just listened to some songs that were the style that we wanted to emulate, and then after listening to it for a while, okay, they kind of do this to make it sound that way, and so then, you know, I really was happy with his playing on there.
Cool. I like the song, and everybody, again, it's up on the playlist, so you can listen to it, and also definitely go on YouTube. Johnny, you're at hearjohnny.com, so everyone knows to keep up with Johnny. But for YouTube, what's the best way for folks to find you directly to go to your different, you know, so they can look at all, because your videos are cool. I love watching the videos too, as well as listening. But yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, I kept it the same way. So the easiest way to find my channel on YouTube is just to go to the search bar on YouTube and type at Here Johnny. That's my channel handle, and it'll bring my channel right up. And all the videos are there, and I have playlists that I've also created about different things. And so you can, that's the easiest way.
Yeah,
Just at
sometimes
Here Johnny.
you get attached to playlists. Do you get like that too, where you just suddenly like,
I do.
yeah, you just start listening a lot. It's like, okay, this is my playlist for this, So, good
Oh, yeah.
playlists are, and it goes back to the days of when, we used to make playlists for our friends,
Oh, yeah, totally.
it's
And
all
they have
part
a
of it.
feature. I haven't used it, but you can collaborate with people on playlists too.
No,
There's
we
a,
need to do that.
yeah.
Let's do
Yeah.
that. We'll do that for the next
Yeah, we
time.
should.
Okay.
Yeah,
I've never
we
done
should.
it. Why not? Yeah. I say
Yeah.
we do it, man. Yeah. Cool.
I have one that's called Songs for Self-Care that quite a few of my friends have followed, and they tell me that they listen to it pretty often. It's
Oh, nice.
just kind of songs that are uplifting, kind of help you through a rough spot.
That's cool. We need that. Everybody needs that, to get through things and all that. It's again, it's like, let's go through hope, right? And I think we can't lose hope. I think it's so important. I was thinking about this day when I was walking with the dogs out in the woods, and thinking about it, it's so easy when you get stuck to the news. In fact, Lucas Nelson and The Promise of the Real have a good band, a good song. Turn off the news and, go grow a garden, build a garden. It's like, get your family out to take positive action. You feel better. And I think that's a really good song for spring. And it does bring you hope. When you work with nature, yes, we know nature can be cruel, but, when you see a flower bloom in the hardest places and things, it does give you hope. And I think gardening is such an important thing because it's like a co-creation in a way. You're nurturing. It reminds you to go back to giving. You're also taking care of yourself and your community when you do it, and the birds and the butterflies, and maybe you're growing your own food too, so it's healthier and cleaner. So it's really this healthy, amazing thing to do. But I think it is hope because, yeah, we need to know what's going on in the world. And when we, I mean, I don't. There's not, no, who wants to watch the news anymore? It's devastating. But you also have to keep hope, because if we lose hope, then you might as well just call it a day. Hope is like it's an important thing. I'm not trying to be altruistic, but it does
Yeah,
go a
no,
long
it's,
way.
oh, absolutely. Yeah, digging your hands into the soil and just, yeah, the way it kind of clears your mind, doing else, being outside in nature. And I know, Paco, I forget where he heard this, but he always talks about getting outside barefoot on the grass and that connection to the earth. Where your feet are on the ground, and you don't have shoes between you and the earth, and the picking up that energy. And he's really a green thumb. We'll go on, we'll be hiking somewhere, and he'll see a plant that he likes, and he'll just like take a small little branch off of it and go home, and somehow he's able to make it grow. So we have all these plants on our patio that have come from our hikes, where
Oh, that's
he's just
funny.
seen a plant that
Well,
he likes, and he's really good at getting them to grow. So,
that's what we call nip and tuck, not the plastic surgery
yeah.
thing. Nip and tuck is, when you go for your neighborhood walks and you see, I don't do this anymore, but my grandmother taught me this, and she's passed on. So there you go. It's when You go for a walk and you see like a little plant in your neighbor's yard or someone around. Maybe you want to go further than your neighborhood, like you're like go outside your neighborhood so you don't get caught. And you just kind of nip and tuck and you take the little leaves and you put them in your plants and I mean your pockets, your pant pockets, and then you put them in water and you grow them. And in some ways it's like, expanding the family of that plant throughout the neighborhood. And it especially works with succulents and things like that, but that's the nip and tuck. So you take the nip and you tuck it away.
There you go.
And a lot of times families will swap plants. Like if you have like iris or something like that, and like now the iris is dying down depending where you are. And then they start multiplying that like an iris can, start, you divide it up and you spread it around and give it to your neighbors, So people swap plants and it's also good to really save seeds and swap seeds and especially heritage plants. That's a whole other thing. That's a whole other topic, but it's important. But hey, that goes back to Porterville. The iris, you guys used, you had Sutton's Iris Farm out there. They've moved since, but that was like the Iris Festival started and you guys had Porterville, California, your hometown. You have your own iris, like the bearded iris that grows everywhere out there. Yeah, so that's the sign of spring, the iris, the fleur-de-lis. Yeah, and so Louisiana has that as their symbol. It's interesting, the history of the fleur-de-lis. Yeah, wild iris grows through California too. One of the coolest places to see it, that we saw it in anyway. It's Point Reyes National Seashore up north of San Francisco and Marin County, and it's just that they're just wild iris everywhere. It's like in these little pasture lands, countryside, rolling hills, because it is pasture lands as well as the seashore. It's old farming, country. And then there's like these old growth forests in Tomales Bay State Park next to it. And then you've got elk and coyotes running around. You can see elephant seal, and it's a really beautiful. We were there in the end of March one year. I think it was 2014, and we would watch the elephants, all elephant seals, all on the beach. They were in their season, and the California coast. There's like three places. There's Mexico, then there's Puerto Nuevo, I think. I might be getting it wrong. Año Nuevo, out by Santa Cruz, California. There's a state beach there where all the babies are being born. It's very cute. February, March time frame, and then you see, you can watch them, but at a distance because they let them have their own peace and quiet. And not that they're quiet, man, because the males, oh my gosh, the dude, they're hysterical to watch, But yeah, it's cool to experience, and I think that's the other thing about spring is like there's new births, and birth brings hope. I mean, there's little baby lambs everywhere. There's little baby calves, cow. I know they're calves, so they're already babies, but baby birds, you can hear baby birds in the morning, and you just like don't fall out of your nest, Do you hear birds where you are in the morning, like? Beep, 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 wake up. It's time to go. Get up. Get the worm, But I love the sounds of spring to me are that is hope. It's like rebirth, renewal. There's newness, And
Oh,
that's life.
yeah, I love bird song is just amazing to me. The way that they the different kinds of sounds they make, and it's really beautiful.
Well, you've
Another
got some
thing we
great.
love at spring.
Go
Okay.
ahead. No,
Or
you go.
another thing I love, we love in spring is the wildflowers in Lancaster, the Poppy
Oh, yeah, the
Reserve.
poppies.
We
Yeah.
can, yeah, we're trying, we're planning to go there in the next couple of weeks because I think they're blooming now, and it's really amazing. Just you just see these blankets of different colors of flowers on the hills, and it's pretty spectacular. It's a little irritating because if you don't go there early enough, people just
Yeah.
see nothing wrong with going out and trampling them all over them to get a good selfie. It's frustrating.
It's yeah, that's not nice. And basically the deserts are going through a super bloom. Palm Springs is Anza Borrego Desert State Park outside of San Diego. East San Diego is, it's over 600,000 acres of desert. It's the largest desert state park in the contiguous 48 states. And I mean, the wildflowers, they have Easter lilies this year, or the desert lily, I should say.
Oh, wow.
And that's a kind of a rare thing to be able to see. They only bloom once in a, while. They bloomed in the pandemic when we were sheltered in place up in Joshua Tree area, and they were in bloom that year. So it was kind of like a, all right, things are going to be okay. We're going to make it because these
Oh
bloomed,
yeah.
But the flowers are everywhere.
We've seen the photos of Enza Borrego. That's another place we want to go. Yeah, it looks amazing.
We used to live there. It's awesome. You definitely, and if you
Oh
go, you
wow.
should go to Julian up in the mountains.
Okay.
If you go, yeah, if you go from LA, LA, or go up through Julian. Julian is like it's idyllic mountain town, and they're getting snow this weekend, so it's going to be packed. But it is May right now. I think they've had their daffodils. They have over 1 million daffodils planted there. But Julian it's known for its apple pie. But if you go in there, end of April and May, all the orchards are in bloom because they have all the apple orchards, the pears, the peaches, all in bloom. And they have vineyards that are all that new green. They have, orchards and farms. And it's really small, but it's like an old Western town. And they've like horse and carriages and like candy shops and like a deli and an old soda fountain, and it's just awesome. And lilacs are in bloom in May, and this year is going to be off the hook. And you just it's I remember when we lived there, just you could smell when spring came. It would just drift in through your windows, and you knew when the lilacs were coming just by that scent would take over the mountain. And it's just spring is gorgeous. There's Lake Cuyamaca you can go to. There's all kinds of forest trails at William Heisey State Park. Honestly, Vulcan Mountain Wilderness area. Lots of wildflowers too. So through the spring it's and summer, Mount Laguna, all of that. But you can go down to Anza Borrego from there, and it is, yeah, you've got to do it, man. You got to go on a road trip. And it's not too far
We
for LA
do.
or San Diego. This area is gorgeous, and there's just yeah, and Palomar Mountain. There's a state park there, and they have redwoods up there that you can see. And y'all need to go.
We
I'm feeling
do. It's
homesick.
time. We need it. We definitely need a road trip. I was going to ask you, are you going to be in, you're in North Carolina now, right? So are
Yes.
you going to be there like next month? Because I heard that there's a two different groups of cicadas. I don't think is it cicadas or cicadas? I don't know how you
Cicadas,
say it,
yeah,
but
now that's a summer
cicadas are going
spring.
to, and I guess there are two. There's one that every 17 years they come out, and the other one is every 13 years, I think. And they're both going to come out at the same time this year. It only happens every 221 years or something like that. And so they're going to be over a trillion cicadas in like 17 states coming up like in a month or two. So
We're going to be
I
here
didn't
for
know if you
that.
guys. Okay. Wow.
I'll
That's
record it.
interesting.
I'll record it.
Okay.
I used to
Yeah.
record them out on hikes out in Arizona. They had cicadas come up,
Oh,
and I've done
wow.
some filming of them out in North Carolina, actually not far from where we are here, on a farm. And I was like, "What is this?" And it was like the old shell of a cicada where another one goes in or one comes out. I don't know, but it's kind of freaky, man. And it's psychedelic colors, man. It's translucent and like, seriously, they're interesting, but apparently they do kind of swarm. Like they're like we may be covered in them. In North Carolina, the Smoky Mountains in the fall, they have these Asian beetles that look like ladybugs, so you think they are, but they're not. And they swarm. And depending if you live in the mountains, and we've been to bed and breakfast dealing with them, we've done pet sits with them in the mountains and the forest areas, like they just, you go outside, you're going to be covered. They are everywhere. They like you're vacuuming them nonstop. It's like nonstop. Yeah. But it's, but they make, and that they're kind of invasive, so they're not really a positive thing. The cicadas are fascinating, and that sound is like crazy. I've recorded it, and it's like, oh my gosh, that sound is insane. You know, so I don't know what you can do music wise with it, you know, but that is a sound of spring. There's the birds and the bugs, you know, there are bugs that make sound. I've actually heard a butterfly that touched my head, landed on my head. And I heard the wings of the butterfly, and it was getting cold on a hike. And so I think I felt really weird. Like I felt like I got like spiritually touched. It's a weird thing to say, I believe it, you know, I think
yeah, we saw the monarchs in Mexico, you know, at the Monarch Reserve there, and just being surrounded by, I don't know if it was millions, but it was a lot of butterflies. And yeah, it did feel very, there was something magical about it. It was just really, you know, as it got warmer during the day, they came out and just, they were everywhere. Just, they would land on you. And yeah, it was really, it was beautiful.
That's it. I'm having to add dog and butterfly from Heart into the playlist. We have to add some butter, and there's a butterfly. Yeah, I've got butterfly music that's going to be added. That's for sure. Yeah. We're putting butterflies in here because they are out now. There's butterflies, and Rockin' Robin has to go in. Come on.
Yeah.
We got to have Rockin' Robin in there because the robins are out today. Like they were everywhere. I wanted to bring up Wisteria. Okay. So, you know, there's a song from an independent musician. And I'm going to find it for this playlist. I don't know. I've got to find it because she's one of my favorite singer songwriters and I need to find this anyway. So I will. It's a beautiful song. And when she was on the show, I mean, it was a long time ago. So, apparently I'm hitting middle age really well. My memory's going, but, I was going to say that her album talked about this house and everything and the wisteria, like, and she's like, the wisteria had to be cut back. And when we lived in Julian, Nancy and I lived in a couple cabins and then this A-frame house, a wooden cedar house. And, it was out on the outskirts of, was in an area called Pine Hills. And it really was Hills of Pine. And we were on the fence to William Heisey State Park. So when people, all the campers would go to the park, all the deer would come to us and eat our flowers and everything. But we had a beautiful wisteria there. Well, later on, we went through a series of wildfires in San Diego, and it was, you know, it was a year and a half over a span of a year and a half. Nancy and I did 7 full evacuations. And a lot of people went through this. It was crazy. But anyway, go support the community because it's, you know, it never stops with wildfires and all of that. But anyway, going down from the mountains to the desert is the road. There's a mountain pass called Banner Grade, and it's beautiful. And you can see the different elevations because Julian is high desert, even though it's a mountain and all of that. It's high desert mountain. But coming back up, you'll see on the left, there's this wisteria growing down, and this is all wilderness, this place. And I'm like, who planted that? Well, duh, a bird, right? And I was like, wow. And so one of the wildfires, I think it was actually the first one that happened, is the DEA clipped the power lines looking for weed. Anyway, so that's a whole other story. Anyway, so everyone's devastated, and the fire really hit Banner Grade. And I was coming up from a trip down to Borrego, driving up and, you know, sad because everything was black. But here's the rebirth and the hope. I couldn't believe it. In spring, that wisteria came back and showed itself in full glory.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay, that's cool. And then other plants came up that we hadn't seen, you know, like we had. Living there. I mean, if you'd lived there maybe 20, 40 years, you might have. And all these different plants came because of the fire. Now our fires are burning too hot and not allowing that kind of rebirth, unfortunately. Yeah. But that wisteria, I was like, damn, that's some strength, you know? Because wisteria is like a really strong plant. But last year in South Carolina, we were driving from South Carolina to Wisconsin? Yeah. I think it was Wisconsin. And everywhere we were driving were just rows of trees with wisteria. And there's like different colors. There's white, pink, purple, like the wisteria lavendery kind of color, like in tall trees. And I think they're wisteria trees. And because I looked it all up and everything. And that's what I saw today here in North Carolina. Trees, like wisterias in bloom in rows of trees. And I'm like, that is the coolest thing. So I've decided that's my plant because they're strong, but they are invasive. I'm not invasive, I hope. But, you know, but I think, isn't that like a cool, like symbol for, I know this daisy is a flower for April, but don't you think that's kind of a cool thing for wisteria strength of wisteria? You know?
The resilience of nature is just, it life always finds a way back. It's really and when you talk about hope, just the way plants can find a way to come up through a crack in the sidewalk, I remember on the 101 freeway down here in right by Hollywood, there was this palm tree that grew up right in between the two sides of the freeway, and it was supposed to be solid concrete there, and yet somehow this palm tree started growing, and I don't know if it's there anymore. I haven't thought about it in a while. I'm not sure it's there anymore, but for years this palm tree just kept growing in the cement. Nobody was tending to it or anything, and it was surrounded by cars all the time. But so yeah, that and they they do it with elegance and beauty. So that's a great, the wisteria, that's a great that is a great symbol for spring.
I think so. So, do you have any like things that you do as a, as a musician, as a person that spring, is it kind of, do you get more like excited about writing because it's like more lighter, brighter, or do you prefer like, the winter, like I'm going inside myself kind of thing, or does it make any difference to you in writing?
It's interesting. I do. I've really grown to appreciate, the longer days. I was born on the winter solstice, and so it's, I love nighttime, and I do a lot of my best songwriting in the middle of the night. Especially, I'll wake up around 3 or 3:30 a.m., and that seems to be like my sweet spot for creating music. But another time that I really get great song ideas is when I'm out riding. I mean, excuse me, when I'm out walking or hiking. And there's actually, I think we may have talked about this before, but there was a book that came out a few years ago where somebody interviewed a whole bunch of Nobel Prize winners, and they tried to find like a common theme among them. And what they came up with was that most of them said they came up with their big idea that won them the award when they were like hiking or swimming or playing with their kid or doing, menial tasks around the house. And, there's something where I think the when you're doing those kinds of things, it's more of a playful nature, and the two sides of your brain, I think, kind of go back and forth more. Because I think coming up with really good creative ideas, there's a mixture of left and right brain, and there's a intellectual process that happens, but then a total right brain, just this creative thing, and when the two come together, it's really magical. And I think doing things like getting out in nature facilitates that, and helps us to get into that place. And so, yeah, spring, I love, because it's getting, it's staying light longer and longer and longer, into the
Oh, I love
evening.
that.
And yeah, and I love that it's sort of the sunset gets stretched out more. So like you get more of the time where you know, there's like this stillness in the air that happens at dusk, that when I was a kid, I used to call it magic time, because when I was outside playing every day until it got dark. And that time when the sun's about to set, the way the light happens, it creates this sort of a, I don't know, it's like a magical feeling in the air.
It's that
And when I was
period
a
of
kid,
change.
And I imagine it happens at dawn as well. You know, 'cause I'm not a morning person, but when I have been outside in the morning, it's also really magical. I'll never forget, one of my favorite experiences was, we were in a town called Bernal in Mexico. You know, Mexico has the Pueblo Mágicos. They're little towns that the government actually, they have to have something historical about them, and then they have to have low crime rates, and there are certain criteria that the town has to meet. And then if they do, the government gives the people that live there money to like spruce up their houses and, you know, paint them beautiful colors and things. And so these little Pueblo Mágicos are really, you know, that's magic cities, and they do have a magical feel to them. And Bernal is one of them, and it has this really amazing rock at the center of the town. It's, you know, like kind of like Gibraltar, or, you know, it's like a massive rock that defines the town. And we stayed in a, it was kind of like an Airbnb, but also a hotel. It was like a mixture, I guess. Like, in other words, like, it was very charming, and in the way that the people fixed it up, it was really quaint. And so we stayed in there, and they said, go up on the roof at dawn. And I actually videotaped it. It didn't come out great, but because I just did it on my phone. But as we were up on the roof, you could see all of Bernal, and the town just slowly woke up, and you could hear, you know, like tractors starting up. And then all of a sudden, the birds woke up from somewhere, I don't know, north of us or some direction, and flew right over us into the valley. And it was a lot of birds, and it was really, the way that the sun created all these pinks and oranges, and you know, as it woke up and slowly just started to, you know, bathe the whole area in light, and seeing all that color on the rock, it was a beautiful, beautiful morning. I'll never forget it. And
you know, that's the dawn's chorus. That's, to me, that's the thing. It's you know, we're always chasing as we travel, is the sunrise and sunset, because things are, it is that magic hour of, it's the changing of the guards. And you can also see it like 2, 3 in the morning. Like, there's a certain time where the temperature just drops, like at 3, 4 in the morning, boom. And yes, we pet sit and we do our tourism work and do hotels and Airbnbs and bed and breakfasts and all of that. But when we're in between, we, you know, we'll go off grid for like a few days, and we don't make plans other than we know we need to go from A to B, and we have all these parks we want to do in the middle. And so who knows wherever we end up, you know. Sometimes we get hotels, sometimes we're like, okay, pull over here and sleep until 3 in the morning. Then we go here, you know, to get there by sunrise. And in the spring and into the summer, oh, I adore it, because it's like you still have the extra baby bird sounds, so you have a different sound than what you have normal. And like right now where we are, all the Canada geese come in. It's like fall has that thing too. But this is like, we're here to stay. And now you have the bird migrations as well. So that's the other thing. When you think about the sound of spring, it's these migratory birds going in, moving from wetlands to going north. And you know, fall and winter, you've got that too, depending on where you're going. But we'll go to a park. Like, I remember a couple years ago, it was Montezuma National Wildlife Refuge. It's near Seneca Falls, upstate New York. And We got there. We were driving to Michigan and from Connecticut, and we got there just, I mean, it's still dark, right? It's like, you know, it's coming. And we read the weather and we read the clouds to see what the sunrise is going to be and stuff. And this, it's got like a wetland, right? And there were deer and birds. And like when you go around a water area and they have that temperature change, you often get this like mist that comes off or steam, you know, it's swampy. That's why I love swamps. Oh my God, I love swamps. But the flowers, some of them I think were open for the moon as well. And then some of them even then start to open, or you can actually start to, if you stay there long enough, find yourself a good spot. Watch the sun open up the world. Watch the flowers open. And you can see the birds, their sounds start to change. It goes from, hey, we're awake, la da da da, to, all right, we're hungry. Who's going to get what? You know, like, you know. And then all of a sudden it starts to get into now the normal chorus of the day, and it changes. And you start to see those flowers that were all twirled up start to open up, you know. And then the bugs come, and it's like, I don't know, man. I adore it so much. But by listening, like bird watchers listen more than they see. That's how they know where a bird is, you know. And it's so, to learn those kind of sounds is the coolest thing, because you can, yeah, man. Yeah, I need to get out in a park now. You've got me all naturefied, but it is, your brain is in a different way. And I think your chemicals regroup, and I think that's where creativity, because it's so awesome. Nature is so awesome that it's the un there's no limit in creativity in nature. And it's frigging mind blowing when you look at leaves and how the petals were formed, and how did they do these shapes, and how does it keep duplicating, and how does it do all these things, and how was it made that, like, all these systems? I mean, it's the most organized thing ever, right? When you look at about this bird eats that bug and it needs this bug. So that's why we don't want to kill things, man. You know, you take out a whole bird species by one kind of bug going away. And so it's like when you look at this web of life, and that's what spring is to me, the web of life. It's like, we're all here. Let's go. Everybody's waking up. Everyone's out. But it's like it's a big party, but the organizing of how everything works to me. I mean, I'm a Virgo, so I'm annoying in knowing how to do everything. Like knowing I need to know how to do everything. I don't know how to do everything. I didn't mean it that way at all. But organizing and having systems and all of that, annoying. But like, that's insane how nature works when you really get to understand how every it's and they and nature understands that everybody relies on each other to get on, even though they kill each other. It's food. We have to kill things to eat, you know, whether it's plants or, but wow. Do
Well,
you go ahead?
certain cultures have appreciation, like rituals and things for appreciating. Talking about my friend Stefan, he lived in Brazil for years, and he said that their people will go. There's this ridge, I guess, where the sunsets are spectacular, and they will go when the sun sets and they applaud the sunset. So they celebrate as the sun goes down, like thank the sun, for the day and everything. And he actually named one of his albums Applauding the Sunset. And I always thought that was really beautiful.
That's a beautiful song.
The
I
way
think
that.
you put that, yeah, you put that on the playlist too, I think. Oh, I watched it
It's I
anyway.
put a song I put a song from the album.
Yeah, that's right. And okay, so you also put Simon and Garfunkel, April Come She Will. Oh my gosh, that is such a good song. It's a beautiful. Simon and Garfunkel really are good. Like, whenever you go back and listen to their music, you just kind of go like, that was this little cosmic thing that happened and then exploded. But they that the harmonies were amazing, right? When you listen to their music.
And the Paul Simon's lyric writing is legendary. It's just fantastic, It's interesting. Melissa said that she took songwriting from Melissa Manchester took songwriting from Paul Simon when she was really young at I think it was New York I don't remember what college it was, but she took a class from him.
Oh,
And
wow.
he said all the stories have been told. It's the way that you tell them that makes it makes it unique and makes your sound. And she said she's always remembered that. Yeah, it's all those little choices that we make when we write a song and when we record it and arrange it that make it our contribution.
That's really true. You know what I was thinking? The song Delta Dawn has to go on there now. And you've got Here Comes the Sun on there from the Beatles. Yeah, we need
Yeah,
that.
that's
We
my
need
favorite
that.
Beatles. My
Yeah,
favorite Beatles
it's
song.
happy. It's a happy one. But you've got Nina Simone singing Feeling Good, and that is one of my ultimate favorite songs because it's so strong. It's like powerful. It's like, yeah, I am feeling good. I love Nina Simone. I adore her.
Oh, me too.
She, gosh, she did so much. And she just did, she's not far from, I need to go to Tyrone, North Carolina. It's where she was born. And they have a square for her. I'm going to have to go on our trips around here that we're here. Yeah, that's a good reminder. But that is, yeah, it feels good. Spring feels good. I like it. I like this conversation of nature and getting out there, and I think that's what we should do. And it goes well because National Park Week is coming up April 20th through 28th, and we've got Earth Day coming up on April 22nd. I think it's Arbor Day on April 28th or 27th. I might be wrong. So all those, kind of holidays to get us to go out there and then also protect the earth, right? And you've got some good national parks in your backyard. You've got like Channel Islands and you've got Santa Monica. Have you been to the Santa Monica National Recreation Area? Have you done that? Oh, cool. Apparently good
Yeah,
hiking.
we like oh yeah, we love hiking, so we've gone to a lot of the different, hiking trails in Southern California. There's so many good ones. We real there's a place called Debs Park, near it's off the 110 freeway between Pasadena and downtown. And it's a really interesting trail because when you're hiking, you do get a sense of being in nature. But then as you hike, you get all these panoramic views of LA. And like on one side, you can see downtown, and the other side, you can see Glendale. And then going the other direction, you can see off towards, Riverside and all that. And it's just these sweeping views. And then when you get to the top, there's a pond that it's surrounded by pine trees, and then it has turtles and all kinds of fish in the pond. And the turtle there's a lot of turtles, and so they you'll usually see a turtle sunning itself on a log, so it's this really interesting juxtaposition of urban and then nature. And so I've always loved that hike because of it, just the way that you see the city from a distance, and then it's mixed in with all these beautiful nature scenes. And so it's one of our favorite hikes.
Yeah, we need these urban oases,
Oh
it's
yeah.
crucial. It's crucial for nature, it's crucial for us. It's really good to have. So what's up for you? What's going on for you in spring, Johnny? What's happening? Are you writing new music? Is something coming out? We want the scoop.
I am writing a lot of music right now and
Cool.
trying to figure out ways to get it recorded. And I'm eclectic, so I have this one song that I'm writing that's sort of a jazz fusion song. And I've been learning a recording software so that I can make demos. And so I'm working on the demo for that. It takes me a long time right now because I'm still learning everything. But there are really good tutorials where you can pretty much find whatever. And if I get stuck, I can just search for it. And there seems to be a tutorial that someone made about it, so that's been really helpful. And I'm very excited about this song. It's I'm trying to figure out who I want to work with on it, and it's very it has like a jazz fusion feel. And then I've got a couple of songs in the can that I'm going to be releasing. One I'm really excited about. It's called Find a Place. It's a song about meditation, and 9-time Grammy nominated saxophonist Gerald Albright plays on the track.
Oh, wow.
And he sounds
Nice.
fantastic.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's really, it's a beautiful song. Stefan produced that and with me, and that is going to be coming out in June, I think, because Gerald's got a couple of things coming out this month and in May. And so he said, yeah, can we wait for those to come out first? So those are going to come out, and then we're going to put that out. And then
cool.
I have another song. I've been working with producer Jeff Levin, who he's had an amazing career as a film composer. And he's had a very fascinating life. He and his brother were in a band called People that had a number one hit in the 60s. And then they both, as teenagers, got involved with Scientology. And he was in
Oh,
Scientology
that's
for
right.
40 years.
Yeah, we
And
need to,
then
he
he,
did that. Yeah, you connected me with
yeah.
him, remember? Yeah.
Yeah. And he's had a really fascinating life. And I have the song that it's sort of I guess the best way I can describe it is that it's sort of an olive branch to the younger generations for the world that we're leaving them, I guess. You know, like I see their posts on social media, and they're exasperated that we're that you know, the mess we've gotten things into, and that we're not really doing a whole lot about it, and so this song kind of deals with that. And he said, you know, I've written a few, I guess what you could maybe call protest songs or songs that are about social issues. But what I've noticed in them is that I don't tend to go angry. I try to appeal to people's heart, and so I try to make it more conversational and just bring up things to think about. And so I have a song that I'm going to be releasing called "When It's Your Kid," and it brings up a few specific examples of things, you know, that are going on in the world, and it presents the situations, and then it just says, well, you know, what if it's your kid? Don't you want your kid to be happy? You know, don't you want them in your life? And so Jeff is, he says, you know, I feel like I'm really qualified to help you with this song because I was those people that you're trying to address. And so we've put a lot of thought and care into every note of the song. And, you know, this is one of the conversations I've had with an artist friend and some of my other musician friends. Really, to me, art is just a series of choices that you make one after another. And then the collection of all those choices is the piece of art. So like with music, it's every note. I put a lot of thought into every note that I write in the song and every lyric. And I've rewritten this song more than any other song I think I've ever done. And when we're arranging it, we put a lot of thought about what instrument we want where, because this song is such a heavy lyric, we tried to keep it simple in terms of the arrangement because we didn't want to give people too much information to process.
Right.
So it's a heavy theme, but the musical information is lighter. And that was a choice. And you know, we were talking about, you know, how you've talked many times in many different ways about AI. And that's my thing with AI is like, you're just relegating all of those individual choices to a machine. And so to me, the choices are what make the art. And so I would rather have human beings telling human stories and making all those choices. Last year, we won the Pasadena International Film Festival with a music video for You Can't Hide the Light. And when I gave my speech, when I, you know, accepted the trophy, I talked about that. I said, you know, I want all the musicians to raise their hands. And then I said, okay, filmmakers, get their cards, you know,
Yeah,
because
really.
human beings need to make human, tell human stories. Don't go the cheap route and have a computer write your music, you know. And so we actually, speaking of the film festival, the music video for my song, While You Were Right in Front of Me, is an official selection in the festival again this year. And it's going to be screened on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday in Pasadena. And I'm really excited because
Cool.
just having my, you know, having one of our music videos on a big screen and hearing the music bounce around the walls in a movie theater is pretty cool. So, we're really excited about that.
That's
It's
cool.
and yeah, and they've been really wonderful at the festival. It's a great festival. It's actually on Film Freeway. There are more than 10,000 film festivals around the world, and it has been designated as one of the top 100 film
Cool.
festivals. So they have a lot of really, really good stuff at the festival. So
Well, rock on.
really, really happy to be involved in that. And we're going to go
Yeah.
see Melissa in Funny Girl in a couple weeks. She's on the national tour. She's playing Mrs. Bryce. And it's at the Amundsen in LA this month in April. So we're going to go see that.
Wow,
So
sounds like
yeah,
a good
that's
and busy spring and a positive
yeah.
one.
Oh
Yeah,
yeah,
very
absolutely.
cool. Very
Yeah.
cool. Well, always fun having you on the show, Johnny. We can't wait for next month, May. Woo! It's going to be
Yes.
Mother's Day month,
It
huh? Oh, you know, it's Nancy's birthday
is.
month and Mother's Day. She was
Oh,
born on
nice.
Mother's Day.
Oh,
So, you know, she's
very
already,
cool.
you know, going, remember it's coming. Like she starts in April.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's gonna be a big one. So, yep, always a big one. It's, you know, double doozy. So we'll be somewhere cool. Maybe the cicadas will come out and sing to her for her birthday.
Yeah.
We'll do that.
I think they will. Yeah.
Yeah, why not? She'll dig that. Again, everyone in the show notes, wherever you're listening, whether it's Facebook or YouTube or Acast or Spotify, look in the show notes under the player and you'll see the links to the music playlists. I've got the one on roses and then the one Johnny put together, and I'm going to add some of those extra songs in there. And also a link over to Johnny's website, which is here, Johnny.com. So keep up with him there. He's on Facebook and also on Instagram and on Twitter. So, and YouTube, follow him on YouTube so you can keep up with his latest releases. And the cool thing to do, he always puts out a really nice newsletter as well, is to sign up for his newsletter on his website. So go to herejohnny.com. Thank you so much, Johnny.
Thank you, Lisa. Say hi to
I know she says hi too, and hi to everyone as well.
Nancy.
She'll be back. She's doing taxes. That's the real, you know, caca thing
Oh,
about
yeah.
spring. So
Yeah.
she's not in the best of moods, but she'll be back bright and
There
shiny soon. Take
you
care,
go.
everyone. Thank you for listening to Big Blend Radio. Keep up with our shows at bigblendradio.com.